Bannerbox Radio. Double your pleasure, double your fun. Hey folks, what's going on? Welcome back to Banterbox Radio. This is episode 35 of the ongoing series of the Banterbox Radio. Episode 35, of course, of that series of 35. Today is also October 27th. This fine October 27th, bright, shiny morn. I'm Thomas Towson. Joining me is Dan Knight. What's going on?
Shunny?
Yeah, you know, I had already butchered it, so I didn't want to fix it.
Yeah, you just commit to it.
It just got to do what you got to do.
It is now a shunny morn. A shunny mjorn.
It is. Here we are again, though, doing this thing that we do, saying weird stuff, embarrassing ourselves week by week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's the least we can do. Really, it is actually the least we can do.
Aside from not recording anything and just talking to ourselves.
Like, yeah, which is dark, just room, lonely. Yeah, and sad.
And crying in the dark and talking to just ourselves. Like, not even with each other.
Talking. Yeah. Yeah, I got what you meant.
Which is what I do at night, every day. Every night.
Every night, every day.
Every day of every night is when I do that.
Well, Dan, do you know why we're here this week?
Because Jesus willed it so.
That's correct. Praise be unto him. Now, we're here to cover the news stories that people might be too afraid to touch. Yeah. You know, we're really
controversial stuff.
Hitting those hard topics. We cover topics and talk about things that maybe regular news outlets don't want to cover. The real important
stuff. The truth.
The nitty-gritty. And you're going to find out what those are this week in about 3 seconds when I say to Dan something. But first, I want to tell you what today is. Before I tell you anything at all, I need to tell you what today is.
People need to know this.
They need to know. Today is sort of a lackluster day. It has a lot of pride and feeling behind it. Unfortunately, not a ton of great products are forerunners in this field. Today is National American Beer Day, and it has a reputation, right? American beer has a reputation for being really bad.
So says other countries.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that's a awful stigma, because there are some great craft breweries here in the old U.S. of A.
That's true.
But our forerunners and the flagships, basically, of our country are things like Bud Light or Budweiser and Miller and Coors and insert extras here. So it's, you know, it's a pride-filled day. Unfortunately, it's kind of like being at some, I don't know, I was going to come up with a metaphor and I couldn't. Something about a tiny flag at a rally, I don't know.
Wow, that's...
It was going to be something along those lines.
If you hadn't sort of half explained it.
Yeah, well, yeah, whatever. instead of talking about American beer for 30 minutes, let's cover important news. Okay, let's let the people know what they need to know.
You know what goes great with beer?
No.
Good old American beer.
What
is, you know, when I imagine Americans, you know, just Americans,
I'm on the
drinking
edge of my
seat, beer, man. What do you imagine they're eating with that beer?
Hot dogs.
That's right.
Oh, really?
Exactly.
All right. Nice.
And with a study that was released by the World Health Organization yesterday.
Oh, I think I'm familiar.
They did release a study that said they found processed meats to be carcinogenic. Or
yes.
Having carcinogenic elements to them.
Okay, so that's not actually what I was thinking you were going to be talking about. Can I hop onto this with another tattoo?
There is ebbing into something.
Okay, you have more. You're talking about the processed meat thing.
I am.
I just had conversations about just that very thing. It is now considered probably carcinogenic.
I see.
They haven't had enough studies to do that. However, they can confirm that it does cause cancer, and where cause, use the words, increases the risk of, you know, like all things.
Right.
It doesn't, you don't eat processed meat and then instantly have cancer. It's not instantaneous.
Like cigarettes. Exactly.
And to put those, I don't know if you have all the deep numbers for this.
Oh, no, I don't.
Okay, so here's a fun fact. The study showed that processed meats, 3% of all cancers are from processed meats. 19% of all cancers are from cigarettes. So take all that with a grain of salt. Mm. However, it's kind of like smoking. Eat processed meat at your own risk, right? Because you're actively choosing to be consuming something that has shown to cause cancer.
At least at this point now that it's become public knowledge. Yep. I mean, before that, you were just kind of told like, well, you know, processed meats are genuinely or generally they're not that great to consume, but nobody really, they were just like, oh, it's just not good for you.
Yeah.
No, but
specifically,
but anyway.
it's the thing they add to increase shelf life.
Yeah, that the nitrates.
Yep. All right. Sorry, I didn't mean to hop your story.
Oh no, that's fine. If you wanna plug your pro vegetarian lifestyle, that's fine. It's fine by me.
No, I don't though.
I'm just kidding. So that happened, and now another study has been released by Clear Food, a California startup company that analyzes food on a molecular level. Mm. Their findings are, needless to say, a bit shocking.
I'm shocked.
Huh, and you don't even know.
I don't even know what's coming up, but I'm now shocked. Mm. So
they found that 2% of good old American hot dogs,
mm-hmm.
or, I mean, they don't have to be American, but, I mean, like, the symbolism's there.
Yeah.
You see it. 2% of hot dogs contain human DNA.
Yeah, that's actually what I thought originally this was going to be talking about. I had heard a similar thing, yeah.
Yep.
I mean, hot dogs are, like, the danger food, right? They're, you get into it, you get out of it what you're getting. It's hard to say what I'm trying to say. Like, you know what you're getting into.
You do.
They're made with all the reject parts, and they're allowed to have some amounts of, like, garbage and feces and stuff.
Well, let's not go that far.
No, I mean, like, rat waste and stuff is allowed. There's a threshold and...
Okay, well, I don't know about that, but that's... Okay, I just keep thinking about that. You ever seen the movie The Great Outdoors with John Candy and Dan Aykroyd?
Yes.
And they make a comment about hot dogs and what they're made of, and I can't really say it.
Vile demon meat.
That's lips and sphincters.
Uh-huh.
Pretty much.
Yep.
That's what they were saying. Anyway, they say that they've analyzed 345 hot dogs and sausages from over 70 brands and found 14.4% of the included ingredients not listed on the label itself. So, they also found many brands had hygienic issues.
Yep.
Hygienic issues occur when some sort of non-harmful contaminant is introduced to the hot dog. In most cases, human DNA, the company
that's
said.
That's gross. Yeah. That's really gross. Which basically means skin cells and hair is what they mean by non-harmful. Like, they don't allow Simmons or anything like that in there. You know, that wouldn't be all right.
Richard Simmons' DNA.
He's excluded.
Ironically enough, 2/3 of the vegetarian hot dogs contained human DNA. Clear Food said several products contained meats not listed on the labels, and 4 of the 21 vegetarian products sampled were found to contain traces of meat.
Yeah, that's the part that I heard most about. How absolutely ridiculous is that? That I feel like when you're making a product that says, I'm making this product that doesn't contain X, that's the whole reason you're buying it. You're buying it because it doesn't contain X.
Yes.
You better damn well make sure that it doesn't include X. Literally the only thing that makes someone buy that over the other.
Because, let's be honest, it's not as tasty.
No, it's not. But I
buy it. And now you're pretty
now
much.
I wonder.
Yeah. Now you're like, well, I'm eating this far less tasty thing because for this one factor, and now it's still it tastes bad, and it still has traces of meat in it.
It's so frustrating. It's so frustrating. But anyway,
best hot dog honors in the test were Oscar Mayer Premium Jumbo Beef Franks. So great. So factoring in both studies that we've that have come out, these then would be the lesser of two evils if they still are considered processed meats and therefore contain carcinogens.
Yeah.
So
probably carcinogenic.
Yeah. So I mean, okay. So it's inconclusive then. I guess at this point,
except for the whole causing cancer. That's conclusive. Yes. We know that.
Another fun fact. I was going to use this for the show. But I'll just throw it out now. You get a little bonus fun fact today. Hebrew national hot dogs are not, in fact, kosher.
I think I knew that, but that's terrible.
Yeah. A lot of Orthodox Jewish people don't consider it to that standard of kosher. Even though it's got like that little...
That seal ding. Of approval. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
What a weird world where up is down and nothing makes sense.
And there's human DNA in my food.
There's meat in my meatless tubes. okay, so to go from gross to gross, how about a suburban Houston school district police officer who pulled over a female motorist and then asked to lick her feet has been sentenced to jail for 1 year. Yep.
That's
a natural course of events. I've pulled you over. Can I lick your feet?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's happened a couple of times to me. Yeah. License and registration...
Also, take give your me them socks footies. Off.
Give me them footies.
I want some of that stank foot. Patrick Quinn, a 27-year-old former Cypress Fairbanks School District police officer, pleaded guilty to official oppression. He was sentenced on Wednesday in Houston. According to court documents, Quinn stopped the woman in August and found marijuana paraphernalia, but told her he had a foot fetish. And would release her if she let him lick her feet or give him her underwear. Investigators say he then changed his mind and let her go. Just kidding. Bye.
I forgot that my dashboard cam was on.
So while we won't have, you know, deep philosophical discussion like we did with the last one.
We could about we foot could. Fetish.
Yeah, that's, I mean...
I think that's a topic that's rarely touched upon.
Do you know why? Do you know why someone has a foot fetish?
Please enlighten me.
Because, and I'm going to poorly paraphrase this and butcher it, but it basically has something to do with one of your pleasure centers or something along those lines that has to do with your genitalia or like what makes you attracted to that is next to... or. Something having to do with, like, sexual pleasure is next to one of the sensory areas for the foot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the way it's pathed up, it's next to it, and sometimes those two get crossed. And it's the single number one most common fetish in the world. Because of it.
But it still bogues a lot of people out, and I think...
Yeah.
I honestly don't think it's that strange.
No, it's not strange.
I think it's pretty... Well, because it's the most common.
Yeah.
You know, if everybody was into, like, humping the dead people, you know, maybe that wouldn't be as... Oh, yeah. Is that... I totally... it escaped my mind. No, maybe that wouldn't be so bizarre. But then again, it's... I don't know.
I mean...
That's just kind
that's
of...
That's weird.
That's... It, not only is it weird, it's just gross.
It is gross. Yeah, it's absolutely gross. But you know what? We're not here to judge. Yeah. We don't make this show to judge people.
You want
to
hump corpses? That's your prerogative.
You know, be safe.
Be safe. Definitely.
Wear protection against after-death...
Zombies.
...diseases. Yeah, zombies. There you go. Wear protection against zombies. So this is weird, and it's weird that that would be something you would do as a police officer.
I have a question. Sorry. I don't mean to jump off the wagon a little bit, but is it still considered necrophilia if you're having sex with a zombie because they're moving?
Mm. I think there'd have to be a new term.
Mm.
Right?
Because there probably is.
They're living and dead.
Living Dead Girl by Rob Zombie.
By Rob Zombie. Yeah. It's a great song.
By Robert Zombled.
That's his full name. His God-given name. Dr. Robert Zombold.
Oh, goodness.
So, yeah, he said this officer did these things, and he's a total weirdo. Mm. And then he realized immediately that was a very bad idea, let her go, but is still going to jail. So there's that.
So he probably should have just followed through.
Should have just gotten something out of the deal, I guess.
That's you know, sometimes that's... I wonder if the shoe were on the other foot, how would she react?
If she wanted to lick his feet.
Yeah.
Officer, I know you're about to give me a ticket, but if I lick your feet, will you not?
Maybe he's into getting his feet. I don't know. Anyway. Okay. Well, thank you for that.
You're welcome, Daniel.
All right, I'm going to throw a scenario past you. All right? At what point... I'm going to let you pinpoint the exact moment when this particular individual makes a quote-unquote grave error, okay?
Okay, is that a pun?
No.
Okay.
He doesn't, there's no death, he doesn't die.
Okay, no graves.
Just, there's also no graves. Just a mistake.
Okay,
and
yeah.
When he's figured it out.
All right, I'm ready to play this game.
Okay. First, a Richard Dean DeFutis, 32, did a bit of burgling.
Okay.
3:40 a.m.
You know, I'll let that one slide. I'll let that one slide. You know, everybody makes a mistake.
Everybody mistakenly burgles a house.
Yes. You know what? Rough times. Okay. So that's okay. That's okay. I'm going to let him have it.
All right. Next step. Obviously, he stripped down to his comfort level, which was no clothes whatsoever.
Ooh, yeah. Okay. So we're getting real red hot here. We're getting red hot. The coals are burning.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Now, after feeling adequately at ease, with a knife in hand, he slipped into a warm bed.
Oh, all right. Yeah, you know, he's got to warm up. It's time to warm up.
Maybe it's a little colder than I thought. The warm bed that was currently occupied by the couple who lived there.
There it is. That's the one. That's really, you know, I can understand breaking in. I can understand getting naked. You want to get nice and fancy, footloose, fancy free.
Mm.
Carrying a knife, that's part of the job, right? You got to have your weapon just in case. You never know. Getting in bed, you get sleepy. You know, we've talked about plenty of burglars who've gotten very sleepy, so I understand.
It must be a very tiring task.
But you know what? You know, he went, yep.
That's where he lost it.
He went, when he got in the bed with someone else,
yeah,
he lost me at hello.
And here's, okay, so that's a good point. Now, there is more.
There's more, okay.
There is more.
All right.
None of this roused the two from their sleep. The, you know, breaking
really
in.
It's really a fault then.
Well, I guess he was just really considerate, you know? He must have done this
it
all.
It was a test.
Yeah.
And they failed.
They did. They failed.
What if I had actually broken in the nude with a knife and laid down next to you? You would have failed that test.
I'm just happy that you're like, you should just be glad that this was a test and not the real thing. But after doing all of those things,
yeah,
stealing a bunch of things, getting naked, taking a knife into bed with these people,
mm-hmm.
he decides to keep going with the absurdity, and he gives the man a kiss.
He's just being considerate at this point. He's like, you guys are real swell. Thanks for letting me sleep in your bed. Thank you.
I just imagine he curls up in a bed, and then the man mistakes him for his wife, and he puts his arm around him, and he like snuggles in next to the guy, and he just gives him a kiss on the lips. He's like, good night, sweet prince.
Is this actually an 80s movie and not an article that happened recently?
This legit happened.
Okay.
This did happen. but the kiss...
And was the criminal Ernest.
Much... Ernest P. Worrell? much like Sleeping Beauty, the kiss awoke the man from his slumber.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately for the burglar, that man grabbed a gun.
Mm.
And so the suspect quickly threw on his pants and fled... the house as the resident began to fire shots at him.
Wow.
Missed every one of them, though.
Stormtrooper style.
Yeah, just that syndrome.
Western movie bad guy style.
I'm going to get him. Why are you aiming at the ceiling? Yeah, I missed all the shots, and Authorities eventually found the man hiding in a vacant home.
Uh-huh.
And defeated
in the nude with a knife.
Yeah. Well, he was at least putting his pants on.
Oh, okay.
When he was leaving. He might have stripped back down, though, when he got to his other house.
He sounds like the kind of guy that might, so.
You know, I can imagine, like, some people, like, well, who was it? I think it was you. You said, like, when you get home, you know, it's like, oh, I want to get comfortable. Like, some people, like, they throw on pajamas or they'll throw shorts on. Like, ah, that's better. That feels good. Like, I'm going to wear some gym shorts.
Yeah.
This guy, obviously, when he gets comfortable at home.
All the way.
He goes for broke.
Down to the Skippies.
So,
Sub-Skippies, actually.
Sub-Skippies. He's in the negative.
He has negative one Skippies on. Well, actually, it'd be zero. If negative one, he'd be removing them from his body.
That's what he got charged with.
Yeah.
Negative one Skippies. DeFutis was held on $310,000 bail in the Multnomah County Jail.
Multnomah.
He's facing charges of first and second degree burglary. I don't know how you can get both. First degree sex abuse.
Okay.
And unlawful use of a weapon.
Mmm.
Didn't use that knife properly when he was robbing.
Yeah.
And that's why he got charged.
It was unlawful use. He had to do some sweet kung fu tricks with it. Then it would have been lawful.
Yeah.
And all right at that point. Oh, guys, it's fine. He's
like that. Flipping it around like a chef.
Yeah.
Like a crazy.
The hibachi chefs?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's doing the tricks, flipping eggs into his hat, and then it's all fine. That's lawful.
That's lawful.
Okay, so that sounds ridiculous.
It was.
And I've got one that might just slightly one-up it in ridiculousness. Not in content, necessarily, but just in that you're going to think I'm making this up.
Great.
This next article includes so you had a knife, right? Mine had a much, much more dangerous weapon.
Yeah.
Why don't you listen and find out what it was? The mother of a 14-year-old girl says her child is facing assault and battery charges for throwing a baby carrot at her school teacher.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. The teen was leaving class when she spotted a former teacher of hers in the hallway of Moody Middle School in Henrico County, Virginia.
Moody.
She reached into her pocket and tossed a leftover carrot from lunch at the teacher, which hit the woman in the forehead. Quote, I don't even know how to combat the stupidity, the girl's mother, Carrie May, said. The school's disciplinary review board sent the family a letter trying to get the girl to admit guilt, but they declined.
Say you did it.
The school board is trying to get this little girl, this 14-year-old girl, to admit to maliciously assaulting a woman with a baby carrot. This is real life, by the way. I'm not making this up. This happened. This is real life that we are currently living in.
Is this like an offshoot of that same school that, like, expelled the girl?
For the green shirt? Yeah. By the way, keep in mind, anyone hearing my voice right now, you live in the same world where this happened. Hmm. And that other one happened, too. These are all things that have happened in the world you live in.
Schools be crazy.
They be crazy, though. So they are now awaiting a summons to see what happens next. Todd Stone, here's the part that really puts the icing on the cake and makes you realize that this is... It makes it sound not real anymore.
Yeah.
Todd Stone, a legal expert, says that...
Not a lawyer.
No, he is. But says that, quote, the firmness of the carrot could affect the case.
Oh, my God.
Quote, if it's a soft carrot, it may not be as offensive.
That sounds like something like that you would read in a quote of like a softcore porn.
This sounds like an Onion article.
It does. It really does.
Stone goes on to say, but if it's a raw carrot, you don't have to have any injury or show that you were hurt to prove a battery. So if it's raw, that other lady's got a chance. But if it was a soft, not quite firm carrot, then the girl might get off scot-free for throwing that dangerous carrot. She could have killed the teacher. With a baby carrot.
So does that... I have two questions.
Was she chucking it out of a very fast air cannon at the teacher's temple? The answer is no. which would probably be the only way you could really hurt somebody.
The only thing she hurt that teacher, the teacher only hurt her pride.
Pride, yeah. It was definitely a pride injury. That was it. But she threw a carrot, hit the lady in the head, and now she's sad, and she's suing a 14-year-old girl over it.
Because she's going to get so much money from that girl.
So much.
Your allowance is mine.
But here's the worst part. She can't actually testify as an adult, so actually any legal fees and charges are going to get hit by her parents, who didn't even do anything.
Right.
They did nothing. And plus, this is nonsense.
Oh my God, yeah.
If it was like this little girl murdered her husband or something, then sure, yeah, let's get something out of this. She threw a carrot. You're going to sue people who don't have anything to do with this.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, that's who's at fault here. I mean, who's getting the negative parts of this. Because their daughter threw a carrot at you. That's as straightforward as I can make that.
That's ridiculous.
And that if it's soft, it's not as big a deal.
Semi-soft.
Which is what she said.
Why did she just have a random carrot in her pocket?
Oh, you know, teenagers. They got carrots in their pockets. A healthy snack for later, Dan.
But you can get, like, pocket material on it.
No, there's carrots Lint in one pocket, stuff. And the other pocket is ranch dressing. You just take one out, dip it into the other pocket, and you're good to go. Healthy snack on the go.
That is gross. What about, so does that mean that, like, food fights are now riots?
Yeah, they are. They're hate crimes.
Because it's like you might as well be throwing Molotovs and bricks.
Yeah, they light the end of the carrot and then throw it.
Oh my God! It just explodes a wall. So that was great. Yeah.
That was great. That was good stuff. This is the world we live in. Dan, give me your last one.
A woman has been arrested for sending anonymous threats to her neighbor. The reason? Her kids were being too noisy and leaving things in her garden. Darn it.
Darn it.
At least the threats were creative. Carrie Pernula, 38, was arrested when her anonymous letters claiming, quote, "Your children look delicious. May I have a taste?" Multiple letters came to the house proclaiming the author's desire to taste and lick the kids.
Uh-huh.
Weird. And magazine subscriptions would end up on their doorstep addressed to Tasty Children. The woman grew more and more concerned and took some photos of the letters and put them up on a community Facebook page for residents in the local area. A lot of other parents grew concerned for the safety of their own children and got the police involved.
Because it's more likely that someone's actually a cannibal and wants to eat your children than it is that your kids are turds and they're just messing with them.
I thought it maybe they should look in their immediate neighborhood and look for maybe a gingerbread house.
Yeah, that's how you know. Witches live inside those. I know those from the storybooks.
From them
storybooks. The history books.
The history books. Might as well be history books. Right? For the record, just speaking in the same vein as history books sometimes being ridiculous, have you heard about that... There was one history book publisher that was going to change the word slaves to workers.
No.
Yeah, and it said, like, that they were gonna, you know, it was like the whole slave trade thing and how people from Africa were being carted across on these slave ships to America. And the textbook was referring to them as workers.
Workers.
They would transport workers to America. And I'm like,
no.
That's really a real great PC capitalist way to look at it. Fun. That's fun. But anyway, so I just thought that was kind of funny. I wanted to throw that out there. But did you have anything that you just look sad?
Because I know where that's going to have taken place. I know where that's going to have taken place, Dan.
Where exactly would that be? Probably somewhere in the lower...
The bottom regions? Half. Yeah. You know.
Well, you can't win them all.
Yeah.
How about that?
How about that?
So anyway, the police were able to trace the letters back to Pernula. She is now facing charges of gross misdemeanor, terroristic threats, and stalking. So you see what passive aggressiveness gets you? There's one thing I've learned from this article. It's facing your problems head on. So you go over there and you politely ask the children to cut the malarkey And if they say no,
then you eat them.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the only way to do it. So, yeah, I agree. I couldn't agree more. I have a hard time. Like, I get it. I get it. Under circumstances, you totally could be like, oh, I'm afraid for my children's safety. On the other hand, I can totally see myself doing something similar.
Yeah. Well, don't.
I wouldn't. Especially now. But it's, you know.
Let that be a lesson to you.
Yeah. So don't eat children, right? Yeah. That's what you're telling me?
Or at least just don't announce it.
Or at least commit to it if you're going to do it.
Yeah.
Don't half anus it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's round off this week. Looks like we're going to have a nice long show this week. Goodness gravy.
Yeah, it's meaty.
So, on October 17th, that's real recent, you know, Kingston Police posted the following on their Facebook page. Have Kingston Police recovered the first UFO? Last night at around midnight, a concerned member of One Public called us on 999, which is crazy British 911.
Oh.
Stating that there was an unknown item on fire in the middle of the road. Officers from Emergency Response Team A were dispatched along with the London Fire Brigade. When they arrived on the scene, they couldn't believe their eyes. The officers described the item as looking like a crash-landed UFO.
Oh, jeez.
So they got some calls, because there might be a UFO on fire in the middle of the road. People were genuinely fearing for their lives.
They were wondering.
They called the police about a UFO in the road.
It's good.
The orange-blue-colored hemispherical object was partially smashed with pieces of it strewn over the street around it. So it's all broken up. It's on fire. It's smoldering. Mm. It's this little orb-looking thing. And the Kingston Police asked the public's assistance in figuring out what exactly the smashed object could be, and more importantly, how it ended up being there. So this has become a big fiasco, a big debacle. People are freaking out, like, oh god, there's aliens in the road, there's a UFO, what are we doing? So they're calling the police. They show up. Here's some quotes by some folks. Said, this sort of thing makes people who believe in UFOs look bad. It's obviously something ordinary. It was probably something on the bed of a truck that got flipped over the side by a sharp turn. And another one said, that's a barbecue grill. How can this be strange? So there's some folks in real disbelief. Yeah, but you have that large set of people who at least are calling in cops.
Yeah.
It eventually was discovered the object was, in fact, a pizza oven.
Oh.
So it could have been pizza aliens. You don't know.
I heard, though, that there's been a large strain of those
pizza aliens sightings coming down to serve up those fresh slices. That's how there's so many of them, Dan.
I always wondered, because, like...
And somehow they're all Italian? Yeah, I don't believe it. Maybe Gleeplorp from the planet Zoopsop is coming down and calling himself Baba O'Reilly. I don't know. I couldn't think of an Italian name quickly enough.
Yeah.
There you go. There's some controversy, I guess, or something. Not really controversy, just people panicking over absolutely nothing.
But it would have happened in any country.
It would have.
Yeah.
It really would have. It's, you know.
Panic on the streets of London.
We got a song to close out the show. Thank you.
It wasn't in London, but.
Yeah, I mean, it was close enough. Well, in lieu of rambling for the next few minutes, let's go ahead and wrap things up. Daniel Knight, thanks for being here.
Hey.
Thomas Towson, thank me for being me and here.
It's a pleasure to be you.
That's what I hear. Folks, thanks for showing up. And at some point during the week, or, you know, if you show up on Tuesday, you're the real winner here. Thanks for listening to the show and continued support, sending in feedback. We're getting some good feedback, actually. I heard some stuff that the audio quality has improved, and that's good. We've done some stuff, changed some stuff around, and we're working our hardest, our dang on hearts out, just to put out the best thing that we can. And folks, you're all swell. Head on over to iTunes, give us some ratings, though. Come on, do it. Do it.
Okay, I will.
Do it because it's good for us. And if you like us, do it. If you don't like us, still do it. And, folks, we'll see you again next week. And, unfortunately, that's all for this week.
And remember, Scottish girls believe they could see images of their future husbands if they hung wet sheets in front of the fire on Halloween.
Thanks for joining us.
I am doing great.